All right, let's take our Bibles, Proverbs, in Proverbs 27, verse 7. As we get started here tonight in this, we're going to look at this one verse, and my question is are you a full soul or a hungry soul? A full soul or a hungry soul? Let's read this verse in Proverbs 27. In verse 7, the full soul loatheth a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, we're grateful for your word, that your word is truth, and it's through your word that we are saved, and it's through your word that we're sanctified. And Lord, it's through your word that we can grow as Christians. And Lord, tonight as we together look at this verse, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and help us to look at our spiritual life, our spiritual appetite, and to see where we are. And Lord, if we're not where we should be as Christians, I pray that you would help us to get in the right place where we can grow and be used of you, Lord. And Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to speak to every heart. I pray that your Holy Spirit would give me wisdom as I teach and give me the words to speak tonight. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a proverb. And, you know, found in the book of Proverbs of Solomon. And but I want to tell you, this proverb here in verse 7 is a lot more than about how much a person likes or dislikes honey. It's much more than that. It's about hunger. And first, we could say physical hunger, as the physical meaning suggests here. But I believe it's even much more. It's more than just physical hunger or appetite that he's talking about here. The Bible is a spiritual book, and we need the Holy Spirit to interpret it, to understand it, to be illuminated to its truth, and we need the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And so, being a spiritual book, this verse also is going to address our spiritual man. Not just our physical man that we're talking about here. It's not just talking about physical hunger. It's talking about our spiritual appetite, our spiritual hunger. You know, as you consider your spiritual appetite tonight, how would you see yourself in light of this verse? Are you a full soul or are you a hungry soul? You know, it's very evident, I believe, if we look around today, and I'm not going to say the world, I'm going to say Christians. If we look around at Christians today, you're going to find that a lot of them don't hunger for the Word of God. A lot of them don't have that hunger, that desire for the truth. I mean, it's sad. I mean, we got a lot of professing Christians, and you can put them on the spot and ask them, how many times do you spend a week in the Word of God? And, you know, it kind of reveals how much we hunger for the Word of God. You know, I want to just say that in Psalm 19:10, David tells us something about the Word of God. If you want to turn there, look at that verse with me in Psalm 19. He talks about the Word of God being sweeter than honey, even the honeycomb. He says there in Psalm 19, back in verse 7, he starts talking about the law of the Lord and the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. All these are descriptions of the Word of God. And he says in verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. I want you to notice this, that word desired, because we're talking about hunger tonight. more to be desired are they than gold. Much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. You know, there's great reward waiting for us, folks, if we get into the Word of God. And the reason for this message tonight is it's a follow-up on the series on how to study the Bible, because, you know, we finished that series, but it doesn't stop there. We have to keep on and talking about this thing of studying the Bible, and we've got to encourage one another, because, listen, we're not going to grow as disciples without getting in the Word of God. I'm not talking about coming to church and hearing someone preach or teach. I'm talking about you personally getting into the Word of God. Until you get into the Word of God personally, you're not going to grow very much as a Christian. You're not going to be able to have any ability to disciple others if you don't get in the Word of God yourself. And so we've got to look at this. We've got to look at our own life, and instead of, loathing the Word of God, which is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb, we should desire it. We should desire it. You know, today, though, like I said, among Christians, we don't see that desire and that hunger. Sadly, we're seeing a hunger for material things. We see people have a desire for prosperity, for power, for fame, for the things of the world, instead of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. You know, I wonder, after this study on how to study the Bible, I'm not gonna put anybody on the spot, but I'm just talking out loud, okay? I wonder how many of us have studied the Bible last week. How many of us really got in the Word of God? And I mean, at least once. I mean, that's a good question for us to ask. We have to be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves questions. Look at this question up here. Am I hungry for the things of God? Because, you know, we're asking the question, are you a full soul or a hungry soul? Well, only you can answer that question. I can't answer it. I can only answer my own self. Am I hungry? Am I full? And I have to confess, there's times that I'm full. Not of the Word of God. Full of other things where I don't desire the Word of God as I should. I mean, you mean, pastor, really? Yeah, it's true. Anybody, a pastor or a Sunday school teacher, we all go through seasons. We can struggle with studying the Bible on a consistent, everyday basis. I don't care who you are. We all have a flesh body that we live in. We all live in this world. The flesh is weak. The spirit indeed is willing, Jesus said, but the flesh is weak. But we have to ask, am I hungry for the things of God? Another question is, as a newborn babe, do I desire the sincere milk of the Word? You know, that's what Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2. Verse 2, he tells us, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. You know, you look at a baby, you don't have to force a baby to take milk. I mean, they desire it, they want it, they cry for it, they crave it. And Peter, using that analogy of a newborn baby, says we should also desire the milk of the Word. One other question, we're going to move on. Am I willing to count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord? You know, this is what Paul said. Remember in that passage in Philippians 3, he said that. He said that I might know Him. You know, Paul had desire. He hungered after God. He hungered to know Christ. He hungered to draw closer to Him. And how do we draw close to Him today? It's through His Word and prayer. You know, counting all things lost, we heard some of that kind of preaching this weekend, taking up your cross, denying yourself. That's what discipleship is. Being a disciple is you got to take up a cross. You have to crucify yourself. You have to put self out of the way You know, some people look at that and it seems so hard to them to do that. But listen, if you do that, I promise you, God is going to bless you with a hunger for His Word, and He will fill your hunger. You'll keep on hungering, and He'll keep on filling. Tonight, I want to first start with the physical application. The physical application of this verse. You know, the physical picture that Solomon paints here, I believe it's very, very clear. He said, the full soul loatheth the honeycomb. You know, when a man is full, he loathes a honeycomb. To be full, you know what that means? It means you're stuffed. That's the terminology we use today. How many of you go to Golden Corral or First Cafeteria, some of those places, and you walk out, you're like, oh, I'm stuffed. You know, when you're stuffed like that, somebody could offer you a dessert. It could be your favorite. I don't know what your favorite is, cherry cheesecake, red velvet cake, chocolate cake, or I don't know what yours is, but just whatever your favorite dessert, you think of something sweet, something that's good and delicious, think of that as being that honeycomb that he's talking about here. When you're full, you're like, I don't want that. It's like when you, like I said, you walk out of Golden Corral or something like that, you overate, you overindulge, and you're driving by Logan's or some other steakhouse, and you're like, I mean, how can anybody turn their nose up to steak? It's because they're stuffed. They're full. And so that's the idea. A full soul loathed a honeycomb. You know, that's why, you know, when you're stuffed, you're, you know, it's not enjoyable to eat anything else. You're too stuffed with food to enjoy anything. But, you know, I want to just think about the opposite here that he says. This is a contrast in this proverb. He's contrasting two things here. He's contrasting a full soul with a hungry soul. And so in by contrast, he says, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. You know, a hungry soul would consider something that you may think to be bitter, they would consider that sweet. We're talking about a man who's famished. I mean, he's really, really hungry. A man who's worked all day long and hasn't eaten. I mean, he comes home, he's ready to eat. I mean, even that third day leftover meatloaf is good. I mean, you eat like, meatloaf after three times, I don't want it. Well, I mean, a hungry soul, even the bitter, is sweet. You know, most of us here in America, we would turn away from a meal of old crusty bread and water. We wouldn't want it. But in most third world countries today, they would welcome such a meal. I'm illustrating the physical side of this. I mean, hungry people, they would welcome any kind of food. I mean, even if it's old crusty bread, I mean, to them, that's better than being hungry. I mean, anything to satisfy their hungry or their hunger. I know when we were in Ghana and we was doing our building project, we would be out there working, and these guys don't bring lunch. They come and work, and they get hungry. And so I send some boys into the village to get some loaves of bread and some, we call them sachets of water. They're little plastic bags, 500 milliliters of water, filtered water. So they go and get this water, sachets of water and bread, and that's what we eat. It's pretty good when you're hungry. We don't have Taco Bell. We don't have McDonald's or any of those kind of things in Ghana. You can't just order that kind of food over there. So we'd just eat bread and water. And sometimes it was just coconuts, fresh coconuts. You don't realize how refreshing they are when you're hungry, when you're thirsty, cracking those things open, drinking the coconut milk, and then cracking it open, eating the meat out of the coconuts. It's good. But, you know, we as Americans, we like, you know why? Because I don't think any of us here tonight are starving, hungry. We get all that we want for the most part as far as food is concerned. You know, for most Americans, a modest meal doesn't even give them pleasure, and so they supersize it. Ordinary athletic events don't satisfy them, so what do we have? Extreme sports. You know, even though we drive one car at a time, we think, well, three cars would make us more happy. Simple singing and preaching service, that's too bland and boring, so we create mega churches with live bands. That's the physical application. You know, when there's a hunger, hunger stimulates our appetite, enjoyment for things that would otherwise be despised. That's the general physical application. But I want to move into spiritual application because it's more important. That's really what we want to look at tonight is the spiritual side of things. And spiritually speaking, a full soul speaks of those whose appetites have been filled with the things of the world so that they have no hunger nor desire for the Word of God. Remember, I made the connection between the honeycomb here and the scriptures. The scriptures are more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The scriptures are, and also in Psalm 119 it talks about scriptures like that, but the scriptures are compared to honeycomb. It's compared to something that's sweet, something that should be desired. And so when we look at the spiritual side, a full soul is those whose appetites, they're so full of the things of the world that they have no hunger for the Word of God. It speaks of those who are self-sufficient, those full of themselves, those full of their own goodness and righteousness that they loathe the gospel, which is also compared to honeycomb. Look in Proverbs 16, just go back a few pages to the Proverbs 16, 24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words. There are no more pleasant words than the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of salvation. Tell me the story of Jesus. You know, those are the most precious words. And you know, so he tells us here there is a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. And so as you think about the gospel, so many people today, you remember Jesus when he told the parable of the sower, that sower went out to sow seed, and the seed, some fell by the wayside, and some fell upon stony ground, some fell upon thorny ground, some fell on good ground. But you remember the thorny ground, some fell on that, and it says that, you know, it sprung up, but the thorns choked the plant that did not bring forth fruit. And he compared it to the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. You know, what a clear application of what I'm preaching here. Jesus taught that. He taught that, you know, the Word of God being planted in a person's heart and life, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches can choke it out. And so a full soul, someone who's full of the things of the world, we fill our hearts and our minds with so many things of the world that we're full. We loathe the Word of God. We don't hunger for the Word of God. You know, I want you to look at an illustration Go to Numbers chapter 11. I've got one verse up there on the board, verse 20, but if you go to Numbers 11, story of the Israelites as they were in the wilderness, they came out of Egypt. The people were complaining. Fire of the Lord came and burned up some of them, and Moses prayed, and fire was quenched. And we come to verse 4. There was a mixed multitude that came out of Egypt with them. So the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. The children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes." And he says manna was as coriander seed. The color thereof is the color of bdellium. But what I want you to see here is that they were not satisfied with manna. You know what's amazing? In Psalm 106, in verse 14, it says this: "But they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert, and he gave them a request, but sent leanness unto their soul." You know, in other scriptures, I believe it's in Psalms, I didn't write it down, but it talks about that manna, it was bread from heaven. It was angels' food. That's what the psalmist said. It said that man did eat angels' food. We're not talking angel food cakes, okay? It was much better than that. It was from heaven. It was angels' food. And you know what? They were loathing it. They were loathing angels' food. They were loathing the bread from heaven. Why is it? Why were they loathing this manna? Well, I think it's very clear because he tells us that they remembered the fish and the cucumbers, the melons, the leek, the onions. Back in Egypt, remember Egypt in the Bible is a picture of the world. They were remembering the things and the way they were before they were redeemed. Back in Egypt, back in the world. See, sadly, though they were fed with bread from heaven and ate angels' food, their heart lusted for the things of Egypt, a picture of the world. So that's what I'm saying about a full soul. A full soul is someone who's so full of the things of the world that they don't hunger for the things of God. You know, there are lost people out there that they loathe the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is sweeter than honey and honeycomb. He is so good. But you know, they're so full of the world, they're so full of pride, they're so full of self-sufficiency that they loathe him. And you know what this word loathe, the Hebrew word, one of the meanings of this word, it means to trample upon. To trample upon. People trample upon Christ. You know, Hebrews even uses, in the book of Hebrews, talks about those that don't use that word trample, but it has the idea in Hebrews 6. It's sad to see how people today will trample upon the bread of life, Jesus Christ. As Christ is preached, as the bread of God come down from heaven, as it says in John 6, those whose souls are full of the world, they trample upon him. And that's why Jesus said it's so hard for the rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. The rich man, he's so full. He's a full soul. He's got everything he needs, everything he wants. He's self-sufficient. Why would he need Christ? That's what he thinks. There are there's no room left for the things of God. However, think about this. Those who are spiritually hungry, they will find nothing bitter in the gospel. You know, it may be that at first, when they hear preaching and they hear what the law says about them being lost and being a sinner, and it may be bitter at first, it may be convicting at first, but you know, The gospel sweetens that bitterness of the law. The law convicts us of sin. You know, the preaching the cross, yeah, it offends a man's pride. It cuts to the heart, but it becomes sweeter than a honeycomb when it's received by faith. You know, I want you to look in Luke 15, that example, the prodigal son. I know most all of you know that story, so we don't really have to read a lot of verses, but you know how he left his father's house, and I mean, he had the best. He had the best there in his father's house, but he left it, and he went out, and he wasted all of his inheritance on riotous living, and he just wasted it all to the point that where there was a famine in the land. He began to be in want, and he began to feed swine, and it says in verse 16, he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. No man gave to him. I mean, God brought him down to the very end of himself, and it says, when he came to himself, verse 17, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. You know what? This is telling us here. This is repentance. But what brought him to repentance is that he came to realize his need. He became hungry. Not just for physical bread, but he became hungry for spiritual bread. He began to realize that in his father's house there was bread and enough to spare. And he was perishing with hunger. You know, sadly, many people around the world, they're perishing with hunger. You know, while we as Christians here, we have the Word of God. We have a church. We have many resources to study the Bible. And yet, as Christians, many, many times, what do? We neglect those opportunities. We don't study the Bible as we should. Because we think, well, you know, I know the Bible. I mean, I've read it. You know, we get familiar with it. We're like, you know, why do I need? I've studied it. And I know it. I've been in church all my life. I know all the Bible stories. We begin to loathe the Word of God. There are people out there that are just perishing that they would love to hear the Word of God. That's one thing that I loved about the ministry in Ghana was people were so hungry for learning. Anywhere we went, people would stop and let us preach to them. I mean, not in America. Most people, you go knock on their door, you go talk to them, you start saying, well, can I share the gospel? Well, I got other things to do. Maybe another time. But not in Ghana. They would start pulling out benches and chairs and have us sit down. They would invite their people around the neighborhood or in their house and to come, and they'd let us preach to them. I'm not talking about a five-minute Romans Road sharing the gospel. We'd be there for 2 hours. They would stop everything. There are people like that all over the world, not just God, all over the world. People are hungry for the Word of God, and here we are. We're full. We neglect our opportunities. We miss church. We think, I'm good. I'm saved. We skip prayer time. We skip personal Bible study. All because we are full. Full of what? Is it full of self-sufficiency? Is it full of pride? Is it full of ourselves? Is it full of the world? You know, one of the things that came up, we had a... Brother Bennett speak to some of our leaders and church members Monday night, and we had a really good turnout. We ended up going from 6:30 to about 10:45. And people didn't even want to leave. I mean, people would like to continue on, but they had to leave, go get in bed and go to the airport in the next morning. But it was good to see that. I mean, good to see people hungry and so on. Anyway, I forget why I was bringing that up. There's something I was going to share about that, but my mind just, it's lost now. I lost it. But anyway, just this is something that if we're going to disciple others, we need ourselves to have a hunger for God. Amen. We need ourselves to spend time with God and spend time in His Word. I'm not talking about once or we did that in the past. I'm talking about today. And on a consistent basis, we need to be doing that or we cannot help others. I mean, how are we going to help others? Brother Bennett was sharing with us how that he, you know, one of the most important things for him in teaching his disciples was their prayer time. That was the most important thing. He would spend much time. And he, when he does discipleship retreats, he spends 8 days just on that alone. That's all. I mean, that's all he teaches on, just that. Because he said, if we don't get that, we can't do nothing else. Because he said that if we don't start today in the garden of God, he called it the garden of God. He's talking about your prayer closet or your time with God. He said, you're going to be in the flesh the rest of the day. So everything we do the rest of the day is going to be the flesh. The decisions we make, the ministry we do is all going to be in the flesh. But Jesus set the example. He went out early. He spent time with His Father. The Father gave Him wisdom, and He was able, He knew what He needed to do that day. And this is what I was going to come to was earlier. He gave us some materials, and there's a little book called Tyranny of the Urgent, talking about our time management. That was one of the questions that came up Monday night, people asking about time. How can I manage my time? How can I, you know, Trapper is asking that. I mean, he's working 60 hours a week. He's got a family. He's going to school, college classes at night. Said, you know, I'm not going to go into what the answer was. But anyway, it brought up the issue of time management and priorities and all that. But I got to reading this little thing that yesterday, reading, it was written in 1967. I was like, wow, it was just so practical and relevant for today. That, you know, a lot of things that are urgent, his basis was all the things that are urgent keeps us from doing what's important. And the way he put it was something like this, like, for example, Bible study, that's important. Wouldn't we all agree? Spending time with Jesus, that's important, isn't it? Discipling someone else or teaching somebody, or that's important. Going visitation, I mean, that's important. Going to church, that's important. But he was talking about the important things. But you know what? We get in our mind and think the important things, well, we can do that tomorrow. But the urgent things that hit us, like, well, somebody texts us, so we got to answer. Somebody called us, so we got to do this. I mean, and those urgent things may not be important, but we answer all those urgent things and we don't do what's important. And so he said Jesus would spend time with His Father, and so He would know what was important for that day to accomplish, and He wouldn't allow the urgent to keep Him from doing what was important. Very good. Very good stuff. Coming to this, I mean, for us, this is important. Bible study is important. Our spiritual appetite is important. It is vital. But what do we do if we find ourselves as a full soul and we loathe in the Word of God and we just don't have that hunger that we should have? Maybe we did at one time, maybe when we got saved, or maybe when we committed our life to the Lord, we had that desire and hunger, but now we don't. How do we get that? You know, I think you have to do just like the prodigal son. It's repentance. That's the answer for the fool. So we got to recognize where we are and repent of it. And we got to turn back to our Father and come back to Him. And, you know, the hymn says, "Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim." We get back with Jesus. We get back in that prayer closet. We get back in the Word of God. Guess what? The things of the world will grow dim. Well, it'll help us have victory over those things. This is what F.B. Meyer said. "The best way of combating worldliness is by satisfying the heart with something better. The full soul loatheth even the honeycomb. When the prodigal son gets the fatted calf, he has no further hankering after the husk which the swine eat. Fill your heart with God and His sacred truth, and the things of the world will lose their charm." So repent and get back to the things we're supposed to do. That's how we do it. You know, I know our time's passed, but I want to just one more verse before we go. Actually, two. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. We're going to go over these real quick. Revelation 3, we have, beginning verse 14 is the letter to the church of Laodiceans. And he says in verse 15, "I know thy works, that thou art neither hot or cold. I would that thou were cold or hot. And so then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." And notice verse 17, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." You know what they were saying? They were saying that they had need of nothing. In other words, what I read in verse 17 is they're saying, "I'm full. We have all we need." And I'm thinking that's where we are. A lot of times we are lukewarm Christianity. We're backslidden because we have a full soul. Not full of the Word of God, not full of Christ, but full of other things, full of self, full of the world and all these other things. We're not full of God. He said in verse 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." The other verse I was going to look at is Matthew 5 and verse 6, and then we'll close. Matthew 5, 6, Jesus preaching here, the Beatitudes. These are the kind of characteristics that He wants His disciples to have, and He tells us in verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You know, we need to realize now God wants us to hunger and thirst. Not for the things of the world, but after righteousness. After the things of God. When we do, it says, we have the promise here, shall be filled. He'll fill us, and then we'll hunger some more. He'll fill us. We'll hunger some more. He'll fill us. He's talking about continuous hungering and thirsting here after righteousness. I'm just going to close with this slide right here. Are you a full or hungry soul? Are you a full or hungry soul? Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your word. And I know, Lord, I needed this message myself. And I know it is something that you challenge me with. And Lord, because I know there are times that I'm full of other things in my life that crowd out the important things in my life. And Lord, I want to hunger after righteousness. I want to thirst after righteousness. And Lord, I pray that you would challenge each of us. And Lord, that we would take some time tonight to evaluate if we're full soul or hungry soul. And Lord, that we would take some time to study the book of Galatians and spend some time in your word and prayer. And Lord, we can come back next week and have a profitable discussion about chapter 5 of Galatians and what we learned in our study. And Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would just work in our hearts and our lives and help us to be what you want us to be as your disciples, as your servants. Help us to grow. Help us to realize that growth is not automatic. We have to make choices. We have to discipline ourselves to do the right things, and like spending time with you and spending time in your word and meditating on it, Lord. And so, Lord, we pray you'd use what we've learned tonight in our lives, and we will give you the praise, honor, and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.